This is a two-story. It involves the difficulty a man got into with the law due to the fact that he had no shoes on his donkey. This man was hauled up before the court in Cardona, and the case was tried by the late District Justice Welsh. Justice Welsh being a man who was a very, very central man, and he had a good sense of humour. And the case was tried before him. And the principal witness for the prosecution in this case was a Sergeant Murphy. Murphy had been born and brought up about Carrick, but he had joined the Guards at a fairly early age, and he had spent the most of his life keeping the peace in the West Donegal town of Dunloe. But towards the end of his career, he had been transferred back to Cairn again, where he had been born and brought up. He was promoted to sergeant, and he was transferred back to Cairn. And it was while he was serving in Cairn as a sergeant in the Guards that he set the wheels in motion that resulted in this very famous law case. And this is the true story now of Kelly's donkey. There was a well-bred donkey once lived in Donegal, in the parish of Clonmany, well known to one and all. His master's name was Kelly, a decent man, that's true. But until the law compelled him, his ass he would not chew. And it was when he threw the turf that brought his master from the moss, that started to burn Crana, likewise, Clonmany Cross. Now this ass was reared in Alice, where poaching once was rife, and there, to its maturity, it led a blameless life. But it next went to the Isle of Doe, bought by a water man, where it acquired a taste for wash before poaching was banned. But when at last the isle went dry, the donkey reformed too, and from that time it never touched a drop of the Mountain Dew. Next, seen by Paddy Kelly at Cardona Fair, where he showed my disgrace and that superior air that for his farm at Clea he bought it. And so far, the bargain was completed in Pat Cole's famous bar. Now, all this time, as I have said, the donkey was on shot. He would cut it turf for Kelly all over this green saw. But then one day, Sergeant Murphy met this donkey on the road, escorted by some, beneath a heavy load. "Hold on, hold on," the sergeant cried, and a voice both loud and clear struck terror into Kelly's heart and made him shake with fear. "Do you know," the sergeant said, "you are a criminal, most vile. You've broken the constitution laws that govern this green isle. For by Victoria's gracious law, it's now a free state act by virtue of the treaty of the Coal and Cattle Pact. All donkeys now must have their shoes, the same as you or me, or else their owners will be jailed for a shameless guilt." Said Kelly, "Honourable Sergeant, your statement I deny. I'll write to De Valera, and I'll ask the reason why this law was enacted. To me, it seems not neat that donkeys then must have their shoes while wains go on bare feet. Yourself and I were both man big before we wore a shoe. We put the girls on shot also. You can't deny that's true." Said the sergeant, "Paddy Kelly, that was very long ago. There are pictures now in town, and the wireless sets in dough. The girls now wear silk stockings, and the soap with the calf fags, and donkeys too must have their shoes, though men may go in rags. But I near it, old Kelly, you have too much to say, and for your cheek you'll match to Cairn upon the next odd day. Now I don't know what the judge will do, but if it were down low, where donkeys are protected, to jail, he'll surely go. Well, Justice Welch, in a solemn state, at Gardona Court did sit, in a magnificent robe of purple that was made just for the fat. The clerk called Kelly's name at last, the sergeant he did rise, and walked into the witness box with anger in his eyes. He said, "Your Honour, Justice, the crime this man did do was to work a poor old donkey that never wore a shoe." Well, then the judge looked over his law books, advice to take from them. Then in a voice of thunder that frightened every man, he calls to Clerk McGoldrick, "My black hat now prepare, for I will have old Kelly hung in Cardona Square." But then the sergeant heard was better, for old Kelly had grew full. And he says, "Your Honour, Justice, I pray, keep your cool. I would not like old Kelly's wretched life to lose, for Clerk the guard informs me here the donkey now has shoes." Inquiries then were set afoot, and soon came the report. Jack Bell had shod the donkey the day before the court. Then at the sergeant's earnest plea, the hanging was taken, and back to Clea Kelly went, as happy as her men. Now, my good friend Mickey Doherty, that broadcast from Highland Radio with bits and pieces of recordings of mine, and times I'd be sitting at home listening to Mickey on the radio, and I was sitting at home here quite recently, when the first thing came over the air loud and clear was yours truly here reciting Kelly's donkey. And after it was over, Mickey came on the air himself, live, and he says, "Birdie," he says, "it appears you've got that wrong." He says, "I've just had an irate phone call," he says, "from a man from Clonmany. And he says that man's name wasn't Paddy Kelly. He said he was Dennis Kelly. He says he should know, for Dennis Kelly was his grandfather." And that, like Clark McGoldrick.
Aye, McGoldrick.
He went around with Justice recording, and he too started to live in Clonmany. Maybe someone might be living yet.
Father McGoldrick's his son.
One night we were at an old people's party out in Fawn, and Father McGoldrick was chatting to me, and I asked him, "Did ever you hear, sir, the story about Gary Stokey and about your father?" "No, I never heard it." And there's a poem about it inside, but sometimes I'd be asked to do a thing here, but this is the worst place on God's earth for a most unmannerly crowd about Tuba, their cat. I refused at the finish up to do in a minute, but I said, "Will you do it here the night for me?" I said, "I will, if you think we'll get peace." And I don't kill his donkey for a minute, but the first time I heard it, and the first time I heard Clark McGoldrick.
That's right.
Was mentioned in a poem, and it was his father.
Well, they wouldn't, his three sons, Paul McGoldrick and the three of them were priests, you know, but they wouldn't be allowed to mix with that, the commoner.
I thought that
kept a bit distinct from the rest of the community.
they'd have locked down on you.
That's right. Mother, now you're talking about your father, Mother was very strong, one-minded person too. During the Civil War, Bully McGoldrick was a captain in the Free State Army, and there was a curfew declared in Dunclannet, and for some reason or other, no match was. My mother was standing at the doorstep when he came down in order to run into the house. She informed Captain McGoldrick, it seems like more having the Free State Army to be cut off her doorstep.
Talk about a prayer.
I think it's discretion. It's better go night than to
go ahead. He'd be right back with Jackson Clonmany.
Aye, sure.
Little Jack.
That's right.
The hunts every Sunday with him.
Aye.
Foxes. And Neil Jack's mother's still living. Aye. Very old woman. Aye. And God asked Neil Jack if ever he'd heard that call.
Aye.
And he said, no, I didn't. But he says, and ask my mother.
Aye.
And asked her. Aye. She said, I did hear it. And Sir Philip put a couple of words, a couple of lines together, but she couldn't. But she had heard it. It was Sean Wade brought it back to Canada.
Did he?
It was dead and gone. Obliterated. Sean Wade was working in Canada and he worked for 22 years and he never worked no more after that. But he was driving one of these big dozers. He drove some wild heavy machinery.
Right.
And the boy beside him driving a big dozer of the same kind. And the boy beside him, wherever he was, he gave Sean Wade the awards of Kelly's Donkey in Canada. And he brought it back to Derry. And the first two or three times, I got the words off him. And the first two or three times I used it, Wade was up in his van then. Because it was his poem.
Oh, what is it?
He thought he'd copied it. All
right.
Oh, and then Wade made one with Jack Bell. Him and Jack Bell, he walked with the forge to Jack Bell.
Did
he? Yeah, no. He was a good hand with a sledge striker. And he made one with Jack Bell, and that was good. It was something you couldn't have believed like that.
He was the
capable of making it.
Damn, he lived out long ago. They were just
he was a character, too.
He was a character, right.
But damn, I said, aye, sir, that's powerful altogether. Well, you give me the words of that, I'll be fucking lapped. I said, I did the words of Kelly's Donkey, and you stole it from me.
What is he going to do with it?
I never heard it. I never heard it since. But that was good as a jack down.
Because I don't know, there were. Derry Journal published it was in our house, I know, but it disappeared, I don't know, whoever, a lot of recitations and stuff that was around Derry and Donegal now, and a lot, but I don't know where it disappeared, it was back there years ago, you know, but there was a copy of it in our house, but it disappeared too, you know, suspected a certain man for the
and was Kelly Duncan?
I'm not sure, maybe it was not ever a resident.
Only for Wade it was dead and gone.
Well, you see, this is it, there were a whole lot of them now.
I know he was in, he thought he'd copyright it. But I still kept doing it.
That's good,